This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Think about the last time you had a cancel subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
This is Hidden Killers Year in Review, a look back at the biggest stories of 2025. This is continuing coverage of United States versus Sean Diddy Combs. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
The Diddy verdict is in. What happened, what it means, and what comes next is what we are about to break down for you right here. So, what happened? Let's just rip the Band-Aid off. Sean Diddy Combs, music mogul, mogul of moguls, hip-hop billionaire, allegedly, just got handed a mixed verdict that feels like it came out of a Netflix legal drama written by a team of interns. After weeks of gut-wrenching testimony, disturbing video evidence, a mountain of credible witnesses, a New York jury found Diddy guilty on only 2 charges. Transporting women across state lines for the purposes of prostitution. That's it. 2.
the same number of drinks you'd order at happy hour before deciding this world has officially lost the plot. And the rest? He was acquitted on the three heavy hitter charges: sex trafficking conspiracy, and racketeering. Yeah, those charges. The ones the whole case basically revolved around. Not guilty. Despite the fact that we all saw the 2016 hotel hallway video of Diddy violently assaulting Cassie Ventura. Multiple women testified to being groomed, coerced, and drugged. There were accounts of freak-off sex parties where women were allegedly drugged and paraded around for the entertainment of rich men. Kid Cudi said Diddy blew up his car, literally, as an explosion. So let's recap here. Diddy didn't take the stand. His defense didn't call a single witness, not even a character reference. He just sat there, silent, banking on one thing: doubt. And in the end, it worked. The jury convicted him of the meh charges, although they do hold significant penalties and will likely put him away in prison for some time. And we'll get to that in just a moment. While putting on the charges that would have actually defined the legacy of this trial, they punted that down the road. Saying, nope, no. He didn't do those. We don't think so. Keep in mind, everything we've seen on the outside here, all these documentaries, all the reporting, all of that, not all of that was in court. Not everyone has been seeing those things. On the outside world, yes, we have. On the inside world of Diddy, in the court setting, only pieces of that were put on as evidence against Sean Diddy Combs, or were allowed to be put on as evidence against Sean Diddy Combs. Now, to be fair and legally accurate, transporting someone for sex without coercion is still a federal crime, but it's the difference between being branded a violent trafficker of women versus a sleazy guy with a private jet and a Rolex full of bad decisions. After the verdict, the courtroom reaction has been mixed. And as of this recording, they are still in court. As we're recording this, it is the day of this verdict. And the debate as of this hour, as of our recording of this, is whether or not to allow Diddy to walk free today on bail, on his own recognizance, back to his Miami home, awaiting the actual sentencing, which, like I said, will likely result in jail time up to 10 years on each of these counts. So he could face up to 20 years in prison. That's nothing to sniff at. Will he likely spend that much time in prison? Likely not. But he's going to likely go away for some period of time. Not enough for him to come back and make a comeback, if you will, if the world is willing to take it. Which it seems the world is willing to take about anything these days, doesn't it? After the verdict, the courtroom reaction, like I said, it's been mixed. Some gasps, some sighs. Diddy on his knees praying in the courtroom. Diddy's team smirked like they just pulled off a heist. The survivors and the supporters shell-shocked because they brought the receipts. They brought the stories. They brought their trauma. And it still wasn't enough. Diddy is still in federal custody. Like I said, he has not been released. And considering the severity of the charges he was convicted on and the prior denial of bail, it's really anyone's guess right now exactly what is going to happen. He is a first-time offender as well, which will also play into this. But there is a very large reality that Diddy could be walking out of that courtroom later today, catching a flight back to Miami, where he's going to be staying at his home until the actual sentencing takes place, either later in this month or early August, likely. We don't have a date on that as of yet. So that's what happened. What does it all mean? Let's not mince words. This verdict is a masterclass in how America handles power, patriarchy, and prosecution. First, let's talk about the video. This is the video where Cassie Ventura is in. The one where Diddy runs down a hallway in a towel, grabs Cassie, throws her to the ground, kicks her and walks away like it's just another Tuesday. That wasn't an alleged event. This was an on-tape event, and the jury still found him not guilty on the sex trafficking charge related to her. What that tells us is this: physical violence, even captured in high-def surveillance, isn't enough to convince a jury that a rich, famous man was running a long-term criminal operation targeting women. If that's not the legal threshold, then what is? Because let's be real. If Diddy were a rando with a burner phone and a Motel 6 rewards card, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. He'd already be in prison. The decision sets a dangerous precedent. It sends a message to abusers with resources, a message that they have known and lived by for many, many a decades. Really say millennia. That as long as you don't leave a paper trail labeled sex trafficking for dummies, you might just skate. And that's not just disappointing, it's terrifying. Because this case wasn't about one bad night. It was about a pattern, a culture, an ecosystem of fear, manipulation, and control. Victims described a Diddy who isolated them, paid them, threatened them, flew them across states, and drugged them. He allegedly beat them, stalked them, retaliated when they tried to leave. One woman said she had to escape with the help of hotel staff. Another said she was filmed without consent. But here's the rub. None of that was enough for racketeering. Why? Because racketeering requires a criminal enterprise. And apparently, being a billionaire with a long history of questionable behavior doesn't count unless you're also filling W-2s for your enforcers. The jury did convict him of transporting women for sex, but even that feels like a slap on the wrist compared to what was laid out in court and what reality has shown us he has done. It's like busting Al Capone for jaywalking. The verdict also highlights a persistent problem in the justice system, the myth of a perfect victim. Cassie stayed with Diddy. Other women accepted money. Some parties looked consensual on the outside. And juries, regular people who still watch Law & Order like it's a documentary, can't always wrap their heads around coercion when it doesn't come with a ski mask and duct tape. In reality, power and money are more effective tools of control than any weapon. But our legal system still struggles to process that unless it comes gift-wrapped in violence and clear paper trails. So what's next? Now, just because Diddy dodged the big one does not mean he is in the clear. Let's be clear on that. He's still facing sentencing for the two counts he was convicted of. Each count carries up to 10 years in prison. So yes, he could technically serve 20 years. But will he? Probably not. And let's be honest, with the maximum sentencing, we're looking at the possibility of plea deals, appeals, and the kind of legal gymnastics only the ultra-rich can afford. Importantly, he, like I said, is still behind bars as of this moment. Bail was previously denied, and with felony convictions now on record, the chances of pre-sentencing release, they're more 50-50 than slim to none as they were before. So, there is a possibility he's not walking free yet. And possibly not for a very long time. Sentencing will likely become a battle of image rehab versus judicial discretion, expect the defense to roll out every philanthropic project Diddy ever touched, every orphanage he visited, every dollar he donated. They'll paint him as the misunderstood Mother Teresa artist who lost his way, not a violent predator who systematically harmed women. Meanwhile, survivors will continue to speak out. Civil suits are still pending. More victims will likely come forward. The pressures aren't going away, and neither is the public outrage. The court of law may have partially cleared him, but the court of public opinion, that's still in session. As this trial peeled back the layers of who Diddy allegedly is, when the lights are off and the cameras are gone, and even if the jury couldn't call it trafficking, the rest of us know what it is. And it is chilling. It's also possible, though, let's not hold our breath, that this verdict sparks reform. Conversations about what constitutes coercion, how power dynamics work in abuse cases, why videos of violence still don't guarantee conviction. That is, if anyone in Washington is brave enough to go there. For now, though, Diddy remains in custody, and for every survivor watching, it's a brutal reminder that truth doesn't always win in court. That you can bring the bruises, the video, the trauma, and still be told, sorry, not enough. Let's not forget, it took years for these stories to reach a courtroom at all. Years of silence and fear, NDAs, threats, shame, and many, many other emotions. The fact that Diddy was even put on trial at this level is already a sea change. And while the legal outcome may be partial justice at best, the cultural reckoning isn't done. Because the stories are out, the video is out, and no verdict can unring that bell. Let's see what happens when these sentences come down. Let's see how many more people and how many more women step up now that the veil is lifted. Or will this hold them back? Will this silence more people going, well, I can put myself through that hell, but will it do any good? And let's see if the justice system catches up to reality. The reality we've all seen with our own eyes. For now, we're watching, and we won't forget. There are still many civil cases against Diddy. The burden of proof in a civil case is a bit different than a criminal case. You have preponderance of evidence there. And it doesn't have to be a full jury that agrees. It's basically majority. And there's a lot of cases over there. What will happen? Time will tell. This man's going to be in court for a very long time and behind bars, very likely, for a point of time as well. Enough time to get out and try and reinvent himself? Very likely. Will we see Diddy the preacher? That's my prediction. What do you guys think? What is going to happen next in the saga of Diddy? Tell me in the comments on YouTube. If you're not on YouTube yet, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. You'll find us there, and you can weigh in as well. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts so you don't miss any of our updates and this case and all of the cases that we follow for you right here at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is continuing coverage of United States versus Sean Diddy Combs. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
So here's the thing no one wants to say out loud. It's starting to feel like juries might be too legally underqualified for the job we're asking them to do. We're watching some of the biggest cases of our time with terms like sex trafficking, coercion, conspiracy, and racketeering being thrown around and jurors sitting in deliberation rooms making decisions on concepts they've barely had time to Google. No offense, but when a person's freedom and dozens of lives hang in the balance, shouldn't we expect jurors to do more than guess their way through definitions that even trained lawyers argue over? In the case of Sean Diddy Combs, we got a split verdict. Guilty on two Mann Act counts, not guilty on trafficking, not guilty on racketeering, and a whole lot of legal and moral whiplash in between. After weeks of testimony about grooming, drugging, coercion, and even video footage of physical assault, the jury landed squarely on not quite sure territory. Not quite sure. I don't know. I don't know. What is it? And it begs the question. Was this about reasonable doubt, or was this about confusion, sympathy, or plain old school fatigue, or just morons making decisions? That's where we're going today. And my guest, Eric Fatt, is criminal defense attorney and former prosecutor who's tried dozens of jury trials, has seen how these decisions actually get made behind the curtain. We're talking about the anatomy of a confused jury, why the prosecution may have overshot the case without enough legal handling, and whether the public's evolving or regressing views on victimhood and personal accountability might be showing up in verdicts more than anyone wants to admit. We also get real about the elephant in the courtroom, the Me Too pendulum. Is it swinging back? Are jurors now resisting narratives of abuse unless they come in the most brutal, clear-cut packaging? And how much of this is about the law versus public perception built on years of headlines, hashtags, and hot takes? In the comments, I want to know your thoughts as we go through this conversation. On YouTube, find us. If you're not there already, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. If you're on the podcast platforms, press subscribe there so you don't miss any of this. But do please check us out on YouTube so you can join in that conversation. So I asked Eric, if this case wasn't legally confusing, then what happened? Was it a problem with how the prosecution told the story, or were the jurors just not ready to hear it? Do jurors need to be more educated before making decisions? I mean, as an attorney, I'm really curious if there should be something else that we do here, because it feels like there's a lot of confusion at the end of the day about what definitionally things mean and how it applies to a case. Should we have something in place, even before any testimony is even given? Just a little lesson plan, everybody. Here's what these words mean. Do you understand what they mean? Not in context to the case, but just here's what this means. So if these things are presented to you, you can then process them and fully grasp what the hell was going on around you. Because that, it seems we're getting more confusion than we're getting actual verdicts that are based on the letter of the law. You're talking about upending a whole system here, but is that a problem that we're seeing with, we've probably always seen it to a certain extent, but there's a lot of dumb out there. I'm just wondering how much is dumb in infiltrating our jury system and really not allowing it for it to be truly accurate verdicts and juries of our peers.
Oh, gosh, you know, not to sound disparaging, but I've done around 60 jury trials, and oftentimes I'll go back with the jury after the verdict and I'll learn about, hey, why did you decide this way, or what were you considering? And some of the stuff you hear is like, wait a sec, that wasn't even mentioned in the trial. Wait a sec. This is just like kind of your personal bias or sympathy that's not supposed to creep in. And so, you know, could we have something like a half a day prep for jurors, perhaps on bigger cases, that just orient them to the system and to what their duties are? You know, they already have a speech they listen to in Colorado for like an hour in a jury room. Why not elongate that a little bit? What's the harm?
Exactly. Like, why not just give them the tools to work with for the task we're asking them to complete, other than just, what did you learn in life? Well, clearly not a lot for some people. And that's got to be frustrating back there in the jury room for anybody who, you know, does pay close attention. And you got somebody who's just stuck and for whatever reason, not just seeing reality for what it is. And I am saying they got it wrong here. I really think they did. But was it their fault or was it the prosecution's fault for not spelling this out in a clearer way? I mean, when you look at this at the end of the day, I mean, I know you could look at it. I could look at it. A lot of people who are educated could look at it and go, here's what it is. But did they need to make this more idiot-proof?
You know, that's something you always have to do as a prosecutor. And when I was a prosecutor, you really have to spell it out. You have to kind of hold their hand. In fact, during closing arguments, prosecutor, I would give a roadmap and I would give a suggested approach to what you do during the deliberations. Here's step one. Here's step two. Here's step three. And then, jury, you decide how you want to handle it. But it's really the prosecutor's burden to do that. Now, in this case, the prosecution did a reasonably good job. They explained how, even if there's prior consensual romantic encounters, all it takes is one. All it takes is one non-consensual sex act that is a commercial sex act by force, fraud, or coercion, and that's sex trafficking. So they tried, but they failed.
I mean, was this not a pretty clear-cut sex trafficking case? I mean, where there was trafficking? I mean, I know you can argue from both angles. It's your job. It's what you do. You got the mad skills to do it. But I mean, was it a pretty clear sex trafficking case at the end of the day? Is there any, is it really, is it, should this be up for debate that this was not sex trafficking at the end of the day?
You know, I think if the jury found Cassie and Jane 100% credible and believed everything they said, then I think the then I think that evidence would be sufficient to find someone guilty of sex trafficking. There were times where they said, hey, they didn't feel like they had a choice. And there were at least some disputed communications with Diddy of Cassie and Jane telling him, hey, I don't want to do this. And so if the jury were to fully accept that testimony, it would have been enough. I just think the jury had some reservations about credibility, about, you know, the shifting feelings of a human being over the course of 10 years in a complicated relationship. And I think those issues were also front of mind.
And I think that that's true. At the end of the day here, we are talking about a 10-year relationship. This wasn't just a quick thing. This was coming back time and time again to your abuser. And I get it. I understand the abuse cycle. I understand why it's a cycle. I get it. I'm not even arguing any of that. But it was this kind of, I mean, has a pendulum swung back the other way now on Me Too, almost to an extent of people saying, look, yes, there is coercion. Yes, there is influence. Yes, there's intimidation. All that stuff does exist. But there is also personal accountability. And there is also agency, and you can't just say I have no agency and let's lock the person away forever, because to play devil's advocate here, there was freak offs Cassie arranged by herself, you know, and set up. There was things that there was windows there. She was not tied up in a dungeon with handcuffs. There were opportunities to leave. It's easier to say on the outside than the inside, considering even her mom was coerced into paying Diddy to not beat her daughter, which is insane. But there is agency that we have. And is this, in a way, the jury, society going back and saying, you need to enact more of that. You need to demonstrate more of your own agency. And we can't just say, because these people are evil, because these people are going to do horrible things to you, and if you keep going back to it, well, at some point, that's on you. And I'm not trying to be harsh or horrible, but is that really kind of what this verdict was?
You know, it's fascinating looking at the evolution of these social movements. You look at Me Too. In the very beginning, you know, certainly there was righteous indignation and for good reason. Mm-hmm. And where we were at kind of society is like believe all women whenever they come forward with an accusation. And then, you know, as the years went by, there were some instances where we learned, hey, you know, maybe don't believe 100% all women every time they say anything, or any person who claims to have been victimized. You know, we got to have some balance there. So then I think we sort of shifted to the other side, to where, like you said, there's an element of personal accountability that folks are looking to see, that jurors might be looking to see. You know, we look at with the George Floyd matter too. You know, initially it was like defund the police and all police are terrible, yeah. And then over time it was kind of like, well, like, we need some police.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of just that pendulum that continues to shift. And for Cassie and Jane, it was at the wrong position during this trial.
It's just amazing with everything that was testified to that the jury still did not, that level of abuse and coercion and everything that was there, that was still, we don't think so. I'm surprised after the days and days of what we heard. Granted, we heard it through reporters. We weren't in that courtroom. So I guess I wonder about that a little bit. Do you think the way that this was reported out on and the way the public really felt this was the slam dunk, was that an effect of the reporting on this and kind of the vitriol of the reporting? I don't know if there was any reporting that wasn't a bit biased, that was not rooting for Diddy to go down in flames. I think it was kind of the angle of all reporting on this for the most part. Was there a little bit too quick of a run to judgment here because the acts sounded horrible, but maybe it wasn't delivered quite as strongly as what was being reported on?
I think so. I think the hype was so high at the beginning. The expectations were so high. And really all the potential jurors before they were selected said, yeah, of course I've heard about this case. In fact, all or nearly all of them had already seen the Cassie video. And so I think there's this preconceived notion in these jurors' minds about what this must have been. And then once we get into the actual trial and you hear the testimony, and it might be a little bit more measured, might be a little less horrendous or maybe not, but just a different impression that the jury got in that courtroom that was contrasted from what they had been led to believe before. Certainly those expectations and those not being met could factor into how a jury decides a case.
The judge has chosen not to allow him to get out on bail right now. A lot of people, including a lot of LawTubers the day of, were saying he should be out. Like, there's no reason. Were you surprised that he is remaining behind bars until, at least as of right now, until the October hearing, which could be pushed forward for the sentencing?
Not terribly surprised, no. I mean, Diddy was still convicted of two very serious or significantly serious federal offenses. And then he's looking at up to 10 years in prison on both of those. The judge has to have in mind, hey, is this person a flight risk? Could they, up and skedaddle and leave the country because they have not only this prison sentence potentially ahead of them, but also all these other legal matters? I think the judge erred on the side of caution. I think the judge heard out Cassie. Because Cassie made a statement essentially saying, hey, I'm fearful. Please don't let this man out. And Cassie was a party to the charges on which Diddy was convicted, although not the sex trafficking charges. I think the judge, I was not surprised, and the judge is going to keep him in there. And I think this could signal something about what the judge is considering for sentence.
Yeah, let's go there. What do you think the relative immediate future holds for Diddy?
Yeah, so I see, if the judge was considering a sentence on the very low end, like time served, for example, or 1 or 2 years, then, gosh, why not just let him out now? It's just that we're just talking a few months, and if you're going to let him out anyway, it would seem consistent with a decision to allow bond. Here, the judge didn't allow bond. Does that signal that the judge is considering a more substantial prison sentence down the road? Because if the judge was, then it wouldn't make sense to let him out on bond for, a few months to hang out and then put him back in a box for 7 years. So trying to read into this judge's ruling and how it could signal a possible sentence, I think it suggests that the judge is considering something significant that is not time served.
What do you think we're looking at here in reality? Obviously, up to 20 is the possibility. At the end of the day, what do you realistically think we're going to see?
I'm thinking they're going to settle around 5 years in prison. Diddy would do around 85% of that. Mm-hmm. The judge is going to take into consideration the lack of criminal history. Judge is going to take into consideration the seriousness of the charge. Now, the charge isn't terribly serious. It's really basically a misdemeanor state-level prostitution charge. Mm-hmm. And then you add in that you took the sex worker from a different state, brought him to you. But that being said, there are all of these egregious other allegations in the larger picture. Will the judge take those matters into consideration and up the ante a little bit in the sentence? It's possible.
Do you see, and this is, it's not even a legal question, it's just more so, conjecture, your personal opinion. Do you think there's going to be a redemption for Diddy? Now, the other week we talked about, or I joked, like, he'll become a preacher and he's, we're going to see, R. Diddy or whatever, Reverend Diddy, whatever it may be. Do you think there's going to be another chapter in the career of Diddy in the public eye where the public eye is going to forget, essentially, all of these horrible, horrible things that we know about Diddy to be true?
Diddy's reputation has surely been damaged irrevocably. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that he has lost promotional deals, contracts with companies and things like that, that he was endorsements, stuff like that. That being said, America loves a story of redemption. And you look at Kevin Spacey is trying to get back into things and getting some work. Disgraced Louis C.K., the comedian, he's had some varied success in trying to get back into public life. And so could that happen with it? You know, you look at Donald Trump. He was convicted of 34 felonies. There were all these allegations about sexual misconduct, and he's the president of the United States right now.
Yeah.
So is it possible? You bet it's possible.
Anything's possible. There's still a litany of civil suits out there for him as well that obviously this probably does hurt them. It would be stronger if they had, you know, full convictions on this for those. But where does that put those going forward?
Yeah. So I was thinking about this yesterday. You know, you look at momentum. You look at, you know, Diddy's got the momentum now. And you know, the folks who are going to be jurors on those civil cases, if they do go to trial, have probably heard about this outcome. And perhaps that creates an impression in the minds of some folks that, hey, maybe this stuff is a little trumped up. Maybe it was exaggerated. Maybe it was overcharged. Maybe Diddy is the villain that he's been cast. And does that weaken the civil cases and their ability to recover money in a settlement? I think it does.
Yeah. I mean, the sheer number of cases, we know it's going to dwindle, but it'll go down. But I wonder if we're going to still see this insanely high level like we have with Busby, where it's like 70 or something. I wonder what's going to happen with that, and what level is going to happen, and what damage, if any, it's going to do to Diddy, you know, financially going forward, or if we're just going to see a whole bunch of settlements coming through like he had been in the past. Because he's, you know, in terms of civil forfeiture, what's going on with that? I mean, is there any civil forfeiture here?
You know, I haven't read reports about that. I sort of suspected that they would take all of the devices, they seize the firearms, cash, all sorts of items that the government took, and pursue civil forfeiture, alleging that they were instruments of criminal activity. But when you go to trial and you're acquitted, are they really instruments of criminal activity at that point? Is civil forfeiture appropriate at that point? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But there's certainly a collectability issue with respect to these civil cases.
So if you're still scratching your head over how the jury in the Diddy case arrived at guilty, but not really, you're not alone. What this conversation revealed is something a lot of people on both sides of the legal aisle are whispering right now. Our juries are struggling, not because they're bad people, maybe, but because we keep handing them modern legal complexity, conspiracy, coercion, psychological abuse, RICO structures, and expecting a group of civilians with zero legal training to absorb, interpret, and apply all of it flawlessly. Then we act shocked when the verdicts don't make sense. Eric made it clear this isn't just a one-off. Prosecutors across the country are trying serious, nuanced cases that depend on terms like fraud, force, coercion, and commercial sex acts, and jurors are coming in with assumptions shaped more like Netflix headlines than legal definitions. When they don't see a woman in handcuffs chained to a radiator, they hesitate to call it trafficking. Even if the law, in black and white, says otherwise. What's even more frustrating is this creeping idea that abuse is only real if the victims fight back in the right way, at the right time, with the right level of visible distress. And if she doesn't, then maybe she had agency. Maybe it wasn't that bad. Maybe she kept going back because she liked it or benefited from it. Or somehow, God help it, deserved it. That's how people are thinking. That's not just dangerous. That's how cycles of abuse survive. Not in the dark, but in plain sight. And yes, the verdict reflects something more than just legal outcome. It's a crucial recalibration, a pushback, a wariness with believing victims, especially when they're not perfect or palatable or screaming from inside a locked room. Jurors, like the rest of us, are tired. But what they're tired of may be justice itself. So as Diddy remains behind bars awaiting sentencing, the rest of us are left asking the hard questions, not just what did the jury decide, but what kind of justice system do we actually want? One where we convict based on evidence and clarity, or one where confusion gets the final word? This case isn't over. The civil suits are coming. The sentencing is coming. And if the government watching closely, they might already be rethinking how they build their next high-profile case. Because next time, they might not get a second chance. In the comment section, tell me what you think on this case. How did it all come out? Did the jury of his peers make the right choice? Tell me. On YouTube, find us there. Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi is where you will find us. Just search that. Press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts. You don't miss any of the conversations we have on this case of the many we follow for you right here at the Hidden Killers podcast in True Crime Today. I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro Plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro Plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro Plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.